Well, Father, thank you for those words to the Shiakia Hushua. Tonight, the teaching is going to be this is really a statement from the Old Covenant, but also Hebrews 3:7-11. Do not harden your hearts. Listen unto His voice. You know, so the hardening of the heart is such a problem. It's always been such a problem. Let's go to Hebrews 3:7-11. And this is the context, and we're going to get into the word of Yahweh is living. But the context is, wherefore, according as saith the Holy Ruach, today, if unto his voice you would hearken, and here it is, do not harden your hearts, as in an embitterment, in the day of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested by proving, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was sore vexed with this generation, and said, always err they in their hearts, howbeit they learn not my ways, so I swear in my anger they shall not enter into my rest. Then we're going to go on to, I'm going to take a little break right here, and just to show you, I'll tell you a little experience. We were at Andrew Womack, a weekend convention for men in the Colorado Springs area. And it reminded me of, the young people and the older people there are so misguided, which is sad, because everything is Jesus. There is no Yahweh. There is no Father. Jesus has done that. And so here's just an example of what we can do. I went to Google, and I say, what is the name of the Christian God?
Christians use several names and titles for God. The primary name is Yahweh, also rendered as Jehovah, representing God's personal nature. They also call God Jesus Christ the Father and refer to the Holy Trinity. Other names include Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves, and titles like Lord and Creator.
You see, this is just, it's just repeating things, but Yahweh, but Jesus Christ. Refer to God as Jesus Christ. Now, is Jesus Christ God?
Yes, in traditional Christian belief, Jesus Christ is considered God, specifically the second person of the Trinity. Christians believe Jesus is fully God and fully human, and he came to earth to offer salvation. The Bible portrays him as God through his actions and claims.
So, that's what our society is today. Now, when you're thinking about 40 years in the wilderness, the same problem. Mm-hmm. The same problems. So we're right in the midst of that. And so, keep your finger here and go to Acts 17:23. We're coming right back to Hebrews. You know, the first commandment from the mount, and so we were dealing with people there. So I had a Yahweh shirt on there. They don't even know who Yahweh is. And so, you got all these, maybe 1,000 different, and 1,000 different men, and you have campuses, and you have scriptures. Yahweh doesn't exist in that whole organization. The 17:23 of Acts, let's start 22. Oh, let's go to 21. Now, all Athenians and the sojourning foreigners, unto nothing else, were devoting their leisure than to be telling or hearing something newer. And Paul, taking a stand in the midst of the hill of Mars, said, ye men of Athens, in every way how unusually reverent the demons you are, I perceive. A demon is a lesser god, so it's not as we use it today. So you have Theos, is the top god. But Dimon is lesser gods than Theos. So, he wasn't talking, but that's demons as I perceive. For passing through and carefully observing your object devotion, and that's where I was, looking at the objects of devotion in Andrew Womack Ministries, I found an altar also which was inscribed unto an unknown God. What therefore, not knowing you your reverence, the same do I declare unto you. So that's what we're doing today, is declaring the unknown God unto Christians. And that's your job also. The unknown God who is Yahweh. And so Yahweh can only be pushed so far. Now we go back to Hebrews. Let's say here on 4. Let's see here. 4:1-13. Let us therefore fear lest at any time, although there is left behind a promise of entering into his rest, anyone from amongst you should be deemed to have come short. For we have had delivered unto us a joyful message, even as they. But the word which heard did not profit them, they not having been blended by faith with the same things. For we who have believed are to enter into the rest, according as he has said, so I swear in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. And yet the words from the foundation of the world have been brought into existence. For he that spoken somewhere concerning the seventh day, sus, and Elohim rested the seventh day from all his works. And in this again, they shall not enter into my rest, seeing therefore that it is left over for some to enter into it. And they who formerly had delivered to them the joyful message enter not in by reason of obstinacy. So obstinacy is opposing Yahweh's will. Obstinacy means, we're going to see what the word relates to into the Hebrew. Again, he marketh out a certain day. Today is in David saying, after so long a time as this, according as had been said before, today if unto his voice you will hearken. It's like the word of Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh speaking to us in this book. Today if unto his voice you would hearken, do not harden your hearts. And so when the person exalts Jesus Christ as over Yahweh, that's the hardening of the heart. That's breaking the first and second commandment, which we all know. You're like, my God. And when you're doing it, Andrew Womack Ministries, and you're in millions of homes on TV and everything else, and this is just part of supposedly Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with the demonic doctrine. Yeah, it's a demonic doctrine proclaimed through Andrew Womack. And Kenneth Copeland, and the majority of all Christians.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah. 8. For if unto them Yahushua had given rest, it had not in that case concerning another day before us been speaking after these things. Hence there is left over a Sabbath keeping for the people of Yahweh. For he that hath entered into his rest, he too hath rested from his works, just as from his own Yahweh rested. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall into the same example of obstinacy. For living is the word of Yahweh, and energetic. So think of that. Talk about the word of Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh. I am Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. And look where we are today. For thousands of years. And more cutting than any knife with two edges, and penetrating as far as the dividing asunder of life and breath. So the word soul half the time is translated life, and spirit means breath. So the dividing asunder of life and breath. You know, without breath there is no life. Mm-hmm. Right? Of joints also and marrow, and able to judge the impulses and designs of the heart. And there is no created things can be secreted before him, but all things are naked and exposed to his eyes, as to whom it is our discourse. So Yahweh just sees all this thing. So me and my son were at this meeting, and so there's some good stuff that came out of it. But it's like you're in a different world. And that a person, when people speak so humbly, and they act like they're so obedient to Yahweh, it's just the word, the word, the word, and it has nothing to do with the word. It's doctrines of demons in many cases of what they're proclaiming. And so you have people falling on the ground and Jesus, 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 and here's the worship songs of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus for a half hour. My God, you know, you're in a foreign country. What it comes down to, and this Lord ministry is trying to correct. Now, if we go to Psalms 95, and this is the word of quoting this verse. Psalms 95, the whole psalm. Come, let us make a joyful noise to Yahweh. Let us shout in triumph to the rock of our salvation. Oh, let us come before his face with thanksgiving. With the sound of strings, let us shout aloud to him. For a great El is Yahweh, and a great King above all gods. Look at this. This is our Creator. Jesus Christ is not our Creator. Yahweh is our Creator. You know, Yahushua Mashiach is our Savior. All right? In whose hand are the hidden recesses of the earth, and the peaks of the mountain are his. Whose is the sea, for he hath made it, and the dry land his hands did form. Enter, let us bow down and bend low. Let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock of his hand. Today, to his voice you will hearken, do not harden your hearts. And so this is what the quote is in Hebrews. Do not harden your heart as Meribah on the day of Massah in the desert, when your fathers tested me, they proved me. Yea, they also saw what I could do. 40 years, lo, that generation. Now think of that. Were they worshiping? Yes. Were they religious? Absolutely. Manasseh was very, very religious. To Yahweh? Absolutely not. To gods? Yeah, absolutely. To many gods everywhere. Yahweh loathes. Just think of that. How did I do, Father? I loathe your life. All right? 40 years loathed by that generation. So I said, a people going astray in heart they are. Even they have not known my ways, and I swear in my anger, verily they shall not enter into my rest. Wow. You know, it went up is down and down is up when you're looking at Christianity today.
Could you give an explanation of the word rest?
Well, that's not part of the teaching.
People are going to be asking that.
I know, but we know that when people went into the land of Canaan, they entered into the rest. Okay. All the people, the men who are of age, died in the wilderness and did not enter into that rest.
I see.
Into the land of promise. They didn't go to the land of Jordan. And I think the 38th or 39th year, all that generation was dead except for Caleb and Joshua, Yahushua. But we're looking at the word obstinance back in Hebrews, verse 6 and 11. It's the word apithia, number 543. It's a noun. And so what we can do is say, what Hebrew word are we looking at? Because Greek words have, you know, so many different ungodly things to do. And so the verb went into the Septuagint used the word mara, M-A-R-A. You know, that's number 4784. And it translated rebel. So let's go to Deuteronomy 143. How would you like to be called a rebel by Yahweh?
Deuteronomy what?
Chapter 1, verse 43. Here's the history of Yahweh's people. So we've got to remember, these are not the nations. These are Yahweh's people, and here is Moses and talking to Yahweh's people. I mean, his kinship, 143. So I spake unto you, howbeit you hearkened not, but what?
Rebelled.
Rebelled. Mara. M-A-R-A. Mara. rebelled against the when you ever see the word bidding in the Rotherham, it's mouth, pay, P-E-H. Rebelled against the mouth of Yahweh and presumably went up to the hill country. And where Moses said, don't go up. They went up. Chapter 9, verse 7. Look at just a few occurrences of Marah. And that rebellion, because what I saw with, when you're looking at Andrew Womack Ministry, which is just one of thousands, we're there and trying to give them the truth. You know, so I wear Yahweh shirts, I try to put out cards. You know, generally it's just not going to do any good. Maybe a few, so we had a few people. But they're in rebellion, is what it's come down to. You're in rebellion, no different than the people in the wilderness. 9 verse 7. Remember, do not forget how thou didst provoke Yahweh thy God in the desert, yea, from the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, until you entered as far as this place, have you been quarreling with Yahweh. Or that would probably be, I think that's probably Marah. Verse 23.
Same chapter.
Yeah, same chapter. Also, when Yahweh sent you out of Kadesh Barneaim, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given unto you, then quarreled ye, and that would be Marah, with the bidding of Yahweh your God, and trust him not, neither hearken unto his voice. 24. Ye have been quarreling, or rebelling, Marah, with Yahweh from the day that I first knew you. Now just think of that. This is Yahweh's people. He pulled out of Egypt, and for 40 years you're calling just a rebellious people, and that is Christianity today, a great percentage. So it looks really good, and it's, but if you go against what they teach, and you start bringing out Yahweh, people get very upset, because now you think you're dethroning Jesus Christ. And so what you're looking at, do not harden your hearts. Listen unto his voice, and that's what we try to proclaim. Being misguided is one thing, which is good. We've all been misguided. But once the information comes and you verify it, you're like, holy mackerel, I repent. You know, I used to pray to Mary as a Catholic, because you were told to pray to Mary. Well, obviously Mary's dead, and all that stuff is all demonic also. The Catholics praying to Mary. She's not a mediator, she's dead. You know, like everybody else is dead, waiting for the resurrection. We don't have to go there. Well, let's just go here. Joshua 1:18. You see this saying, and we know the old covenant. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know, we're going to be with you. I was going to show you. Okay. And then Joshua 1:18. Any man who shall rebel, and that's Marah, against thy mouth, and not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, shall be put to death. Only be firm and bold. So this is what they're telling Joshua, or Yahushua. Rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. You know what they did? Yeah, after Yahushua died in that generation, read the book of Judges. All rebelled. All went in the same situation. Let's see. We don't have to go there, but it's Psalms 107:11. You know, rebelling against the word of Yahweh. The last usage of Marah is Hebrews or Hosea 13:16. Same rebellion. So what we're trying to do is, one of the meetings, Jeremy Pearson said, and it was pretty instructing, that we can see the visible creator, Yahweh, by his word. Yahweh reveals himself, because otherwise he's invisible. How do we know who Yahweh is? Only by his word, not from what men think. And if you end up going with King James and things like that, you're misguided, you're deceived. And you gotta have an accurate translation. If there was no choice, okay, you did the best you can. But there are choices, and you have to get a Rotherham Bible, which is free. But the word of Yahweh is what we're looking for. The word of Yahweh. Do not rebel against the word of Yahweh. And it, the word of Yahweh phrase, and the word is debar. Debar. We know in the Holy of Holies,
debir.
It's called debir, which is where Yahweh speaks. So where did he speak? Out of the Ark of the Covenant. What is in the Ark?
The word of Yahweh.
Yeah, the covenant. The covenant. The words of Yahweh. Is that it? It wasn't the Ark was special. It wasn't even the tablets were special. It was what was written on the tablets, which is the spoken word, or rhema of Yahweh. And it was the covenant to say, here's 10 things. The 10 words. Do this. That is the whole foundation of everything. And what does the Christian church do today? Break the first and second commandment right off the bat. Let's see here.
He's still speaking to us from his word.
Yeah. And but that's the word debar, you know. And so it's the word of Yahweh phrases used 231 times. Yahweh is used 6,831 times. Completely absent from the church. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist in people's Bibles. They don't want it in their Bibles. The word of God, the phrase word of God, is only used 5 times.
Wow.
You know, the word of Yahweh is used 231 times. So the word of Elohim is only used 5 times. So, we go to Exodus 24:3. And there's a heart issue, because I know I've contacted Andrew Olmec and other pastors too about these problems. And so when a person refuses the word of Yahweh, regardless of how humble they look, they are rebels, is what it comes down to. They are rebels. They can be very successful rebels financially. I think it was $68 million ministry.
He said $200 million.
Well, I know, but that's what brings in each year. It's worth $200 million. I think he makes, well, he was looking up $700,000 a year. And you're looking at, holy heck, what's going on here? $700,000 a year for Apostle Paul or for the prophet Elijah? Now, why would anybody? And so you have that. Maybe you started off very innocent, and all of a sudden that corruption, all of a sudden it becomes, you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it. And all of a sudden, man, things are not good, as it seems. And it's just an example.
Like the people in Aaron. We want a calf. We want a calf.
Yeah.
We want a calf.
Yeah. And but they, you know, they look so holy. People, and if you don't know the word, you will be deceived by presentation. And so when a person looks so humble and they say this and it sounds so good, and I was, you know, you pray to Mary, here's a Father, Son, I was deceived. All right? You look in the Word, there is no praying to Mary. Okay. And so you look into, you know, Jesus is not God, Yahweh is God. And so how dare you say Jesus is God when Yahweh is God? There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Well, that's heresy to today's Christian church. So the word of Yahweh is heretical to what is being taught. Now that should say everything, because that means whatever's been taught is heretical to the word of Yahweh. But it does just the opposite. So we try to wake people up on that. But 24:3. So, now here's what happens. This is the Christian church today. So Moses came and recounted to the, he was on the mount for 40 days, getting all the words from Yahweh, what we're doing. He brings them down. So Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of Yahweh and all the regulations, and all the people responded with one voice and said what?
All the words which Yahweh has spoken, will we do.
Will we do. Sincere, absolutely sincere. 40 days later, they had a calf with Aaron. A month and a half. They were faithful for a month and a half. They had a calf. You know, so we're going to see the same pattern. Go to Joshua 1:16. Well, we read that. You know, it says, if anybody doesn't do what Yahweh says, we'll put him to death. That was how they started. And we know in Judges that didn't happen. 2 Kings 23. Josiah. A great king, who was a great king, because once his eyes were opened, He was deceived. He was put in charge, I think he was 8 years old, very young. By the time he's 16, he's realizing, I want to serve Yahweh. And then they find the book that was hidden away, and all of a sudden he rips his clothes and say, my God, we got paganality, and that's what everybody should look at right now when you got this. You can't have Jesus Christ being God. What are you doing here? And so he started tearing it all down, which is what Andrew Womack should be doing. But you just might not get the TV audience that you were used to getting. And so that's what you're paying off, your TV audience. And maybe all of your contributors might start drying up. And so sometimes maybe the motive is, I know I'm wrong, but boy, we're really getting rich. and we're going to use it for your sake. That's whatever. But 23...
Wait a minute. 1 Kings...
Yeah, 2 Kings 23... one through three, and this is Josiah. They find the word. Then the king sent, and there was gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. Now look at all the people who are with you. Were with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and the priests, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of Yahweh. And the king took his stand by the pillar and solemnized a covenant before Yahweh to follow Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, so to confirm the words of his covenant written in this book. And what happened? And all the people took their stand in the covenant. Here we go. He ends up being killed very shortly after that. And all goes downhill from there on, all the way down to the next 22 years approximately, where it is destroyed. Jerusalem is destroyed. You know, so they did. And so they promised it. They said it. So you've got to think. And so any people out there, a shepherd has a job to sheep, to save their lives. And he's going to have to be mean at different times. He's going to have to be very firm for correction. He's going to have to do some little butt kicking here and there to do that. And people don't like that. So many times the sheep split when that starts happening, when the truth comes out. And so many shepherds, what they call, are not really actually shepherds. They call them shepherds. And that's what, pastor is the word shepherd. They're actually not shepherding the sheep. They're actually feeding the sheep what they want. And that way you get more sheep that way. You don't want to upset the sheep because your paycheck could go down or whatever. Now we go back to Hebrews chapter 4. And the word of Yahweh is so is our life. We get to see who Yahweh is. Is it an easy road? Absolutely not. It is the hard road. Is it the popular road? Absolutely not. Ask any of the prophets, Jeremiah, how many people went to his church? Probably so. Two, Barack. Yeah, two or three people out of millions in Jerusalem. How many people? He just goes all the way down through history. You know, with Apostle Paul, all ages left me by the time he's gone. You know, he's a failure according to religious establishments. He's a failure. And even Peter was compromised in the Galatians, where all of a sudden he was eating with the nations, and all of a sudden the Jews had come along, and he separated himself from the nations in order to do it. And Paul had to reprove him. Why did Peter do that? Because he's going to get, there's going to be problems when the Jews see him eating a hot dog. But he can't eat a hot dog. And so you got compromised. And what happens is once that's compromised and then it's reaffirmed over and over again, everybody starts getting a message. You know, don't eat hot dogs in public. Mm-hmm. You know, or even this, call Jesus. I'm not going to say, but Jesus is God. Whatever you like, that's good. Yeah, that's pretty close. we'll just call the Lord.
You know what I mean.
And the Lord can be Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus. It's all the Lord. And I started thinking, you know, how we erase, and Jesus is so important. We erase Yahweh and replace it with the Lord. Now tell these Christians, I'm going to erase Jesus and replace it with the man. And so every time we see the word Jesus, we're going to say the man. The man, the man. Now, how are you going to like that? They would be in revolt because that's their God.
And
most of them know Yahweh is the name.
Jehovah.
We're not really sure. We're just happy with the Lord. But don't you take away Jesus? And it's not even his name. It's Yahushua. 4:11-13. Sorry, I'm getting off the track. Okay. Oh, we already read that. Okay. But 12, for living is the word of Yahweh, energetic and more cutting than any knife with two edges. We want the word of Yahweh. Let's go to Revelations 21. And here's the last spoken word, to the best of my knowledge. I haven't really checked that out. But of Yahweh, the last spoken word of Yahweh is 21. And they're going to make this Jesus saying this. Five through eight. And he that was sitting upon the throne, who is Yahweh, who's sitting on the throne? Yahweh, said, so here's the spoken, the voice of Yahweh, the last of the book. Lo, I make all things new. And when you hear this, they're going to say Jesus is saying this. And he said, write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, accomplished. I am the A and the Z, the beginning and the end. That's Yahweh, Isaiah 44:6. I to him that is thirsty will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. Thirsting. We have to thirst. So seek and you shall find. If you don't seek, you're not. How can you find if you're not seeking? You're not seeking. And one of the teachings is if you're content, you're not going to seek anymore. So sometimes we don't always want to be content. We want to be thankful, but I'm not content until I keep getting more and more and more of your word, of your life that's in me, because I want to be insatiable appetite so I can keep growing and growing and growing and growing. Well, that's enough. I read the Bible. Thank you very much for that Bible. Oh, thank you. I'm full. I don't need any more for the rest of my life. No. And that's true. That's it. You've topped.
Yeah.
That's what you did. 7, he that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be to him, what? An Elohim, and he shall be to me a son. That's the last words, to the best of my knowledge, of Yahweh. You know, the end of 22 is Yahushua. And then we'll say in 16, I, Yahushua, have sent my messengers to bear witness unto you of these things for the assemblies. And let's just reevaluate that in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, because people will get confused on this. When you hear the word of promise, they're going to have Jesus on these situations. But the book of Revelation is two entities. The Yahweh and the Lamb. Yahweh and the Lamb. And then you have the seven spirits, the seven messengers. Right here. 1:4. Just the whole context of this book is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not Trinity. It's not the God-man. It's we'll see here. John 4. Unto the seven assemblies which are in Asia, favor to you and peace from him who is Yahweh, and who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, second group of entities, and from who?
The Lamb, Yahushua Mashiach.
Yahushua Mashiach. So you have the Father, you have the seven messengers who are going to be opening up the throne, and then you have Yahushua Mashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Well, the firstborn of the dead, he never died, because he always existed. And so you've got to be able to say, he's not the son of Abraham or Isaac and Jacob and David, because he always existed, because he's always God. I mean, so everything just becomes so foolish of what is being taught that people just got to examine and say, well, that's just dumb. That's not even, that's hypocrisy. The rulers are the kings of the earth. There's characters. It goes right through here. It's Yahweh and the Lamb. So, we'll go ahead and end there.
I like verse 1, too. The revelation of Yahushua the Mashiach, which God or Yahweh gave to him.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's just, it's always, every epistle, greetings from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, Lord, and people are just going, nope, I'm going to say, greetings from Jesus Christ and God the Father. No, never does that. It's always God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is never on top. You know, I mean, it's just what we've got to do is with these organizations, by bending the knee to Satan, the reason being to receive people into your congregation. Because if you don't do that, they're not going to come.
So also, it takes away from what Yahushua did.
Oh yeah, sure.
He was a man. He was tempted.
Yeah,
he chose
an abomination. He knows that too. I'm not Yahweh. But okay, we'll end that, and we'll give a prophecy for the people. But Father, we thank you for these words. For anybody's listening, to Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Rejoice, again I say rejoice, because you have been endowed with great spiritual ability and great power and great anointing that I poured out upon you through my son Mashiach Yahushua, in order that you may deliver the people from the power of darkness, that they may see in your life that I live. Light comes from you, your existence. So keep shining forth that light, which will draw them to me, in order that I can heal them of their sins. Amen. See you next week.